Now for the opening message, be brought to us by a local member, Mr. Roy Jackson.
Good afternoon, brethren. I want to welcome everybody and guests and anybody listening out there. Look at this beautiful, cool day we're having now. We've had wars, rumors of wars, probably down through time immemorial. Where do those wars come from? Why do we have them? James 4, verses 1 through 3. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires of pleasure, for pleasure that war in your members? You lust for and have not. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Just a few days ago, commemorated the 78th anniversary of the end of World War II on August 6, 1945, with the dropping of the atomic bomb on Hiroshima, Japan, during World War II. On September 2nd, aboard the USS Missouri, the documents of surrender were signed. This war was a second war called the War to End All Wars. World War I was the first one. Think of the population we had back then. U.S. population in 1945 was 2.3 billion. Today it's over 8 billion. 1914 is 1.7 billion. Matthew 24 tells us, let's turn there, Matthew 24, verse 6. It's a familiar verse. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Still not yet. We're still working towards that end. Well, 1945, back in the United States, in a hospital in a large city, I don't know which city, it could have been LA, New York. Two men, very seriously ill, occupied the same hospital room. A lot of people share rooms when they're in the hospital, for one reason or another. One man was allowed to sit up in his bed for an hour each afternoon to help drain the fluid from his lungs. His bed was next to the room's only window. How can you imagine being the other man? He couldn't even sit up. The other man had to spend all his time flat on his back. The man talked for hours on end. How many of you have had to be flat on your back for days or hours even? Not too many in here. All they spoke about their wives, their families, their homes, their jobs, their involvement in the military service, where they had been on vacation. Every afternoon, when the man in the bed by the window could sit up, he would pass the time describing to his roommate all the things he could see outside the window. Hence the title of this message is, you know, encouragement in a mind's eye. The man in the other bed began to live for those hour periods where his world would be broadened and enlivened by all the activity and the color of the world outside that his roommate described to him. The window overlooked a park with a lovely lake. Can you see it? See the lake? He had ducks and swans that played on the water, while children sailed their model boats. Young lovers walked arm in arm amidst flowers of every color and a fine view of the city skyline. I can imagine Central Park in New York, you know, in the park and see the skyline of New York City. It can be seen in the distance. As the man by the window described all his exquisite details, the man on the other side of the room could close his eyes and imagine the scene. One afternoon, warm afternoon, the man by the window described a parade passing by. Although the other man on the other side could not hear the band, he could see in his mind's eye, as the gentleman by the window portrayed the descriptive words. Have you had people describe something to you and you really can't see it, but you can envision it by what they're saying? Well, days and weeks and months passed. One morning, the day nurse arrived to bring water for the baths, only to find the lifeless body of the man by the window, who had died peacefully in his sleep. Many of us have been with people and they died, and it's not peaceful to us, but it is to them. They're at peace. She was saddened and called the hospital attendants to take him away. So as soon as it seemed appropriate, the other man asked a question. He asked if he could be moved next to the window. Sounds like a fair question, doesn't it? Again, some of this descriptive stuff, you want to sit by that window so you can look at that window and see it yourself. The nurse is very happy to make the switch, and after making sure he was comfortable, she left him alone. Slowly, painfully, he propped himself up on one elbow to take his first look at the real world outside. He strained and slowly turned to look out the window. And guess what? Guess what he saw? It faced a blank wall. Well, the man asked the nurse what could have compelled his roommate to describe such beautiful, wonderful things outside this window. The nurse responded that the man was blind. He couldn't see the wall. She said, "Perhaps he just wanted to encourage you." We need that encouragement sometimes. There's a tremendous happiness in making others happy despite our own situations. We know people that you talk to them, "How are you doing today?" And you know they're in pain, going through different, very difficult times. Guess what they're going to tell? "I'm fine. I'm doing good. I do that some mornings. I get up and I can move. I feel the pain, but I'm alive. The pain's there to remind me that I'm alive." Shared grief is half of the sorrow, but happiness when shared is doubled. If you want to feel rich, just count all the things that you have that money can't buy. You know what we have here in this room right now that money can't buy? Each other. Money can't buy that. Back in 2004, in a July-August edition of the World News and Prophecy, former NBC television news anchor Tom Brokaw encapsulated the war effort during a dedication ceremony in 2004. Men, women, young and old, everyone had a role. I remember my parents talking about things like that. I was born right after the war. Foreign boys who had never been in an airplane were soon flying new bombers with four engines. Maybe they rode a horse, I don't know. Surgical nurses were in MASH units on the front lines operating while they were being shelled at or shot at. Teenagers were wearing sergeant stripes and fighting from North Africa to Rome. Guys from the city streets were in close quarter combat in dense jungles. Women were helping build ships. Or whatever else was needed. Driving trucks. Kids went without gum, new toys, and in many cases they went the rest of their lives without their fathers. They never knew. And I don't know if it's still available, but you could pull that up and see the whole interview that he had. I'll give it to you. It's www.wwiimemorial.com. That's May 29th, 2004. Yes, Matthew 24:6, Jesus said, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." We hear of wars and rumors of wars now. Our last world war was 1939 to 1945. We're working to be on the brink of another one here. That's the way things are going, and it might happen. I don't know. I'm not a prophet. I'm just here telling you. But we see those things happening, and we know, we wonder what's going to happen. One time they say, "We're on the brink of annihilation from nuclear weapons." Next, now they're kissing and making up. I don't know. Well, in just about a month, a little less than a month, we'll observe the Feast of Trumpets. This represents the return of Jesus Christ and the end of all wars. There is a war that will end all wars. Well, in the beginning, Revelation 7 states, "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail. There was a place found for them in heaven any longer." Yes, Jesus Christ and the prophets Daniel, Jeremiah, Zechariah, John, all describe this final world war as far worse than anything that's ever happened or ever seen in World War II. For further reading, I might give you these scriptures. You might want to read it in your leisure. If you write it down, please. Matthew 24, verses 21 to 22. Daniel 11, verse 40 through chapter 12, verse 1. Jeremiah 30, verses 6 and 7. Zechariah 14, verses 1 to 3, Revelation 9, 13 to 19, and chapter 16, verses 14 to 16. We here, the church, have a commission to preach the gospel. That's the good news of the kingdom of God. Like the blind man in the bed by the window in the hospital, we can provide a glimpse through a window that most people in this world are blinded to and cannot see due to the influence of Satan. This is an allegory. It's a picture story. You tell the story, and you can see the picture in your mind, and, you know, and sort it out. But in the end, let's look forward to the Feast of Trumpets and all that it represents. Because after all is said and done, Isaiah 24 says, speaking of Christ, he shall judge between the nations and rebuke many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. We look forward to that time. And in our minds, it cannot come soon enough. Happy Sabbath. Mr. Sandy?
Thank you, Mr. Jackson. Now, if we'll take our hymnals and rise, turn to page 186, we'll sing Worthy of Worship.